Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW FM, heard across the East End on 96.9 FM in Central and Western Suffolk. I'm Michael Mackey. The Brookhaven Town Board last night voted 7-0 to approve a new town council district map following a three-hour meeting at which most speakers opposed the plan. Some in last night's crowd of about 200 shouted, "Shame on you," after the vote. Carl McGowan reports on Newsday.com that the Brookhaven Town Board had faced a December 15th deadline to approve a map that adjusted council district lines to reflect population shifts. Shirley Singletary Hudson of Middle Island, who had spoken against the map, said she was disappointed. Quote, "I probably would have liked to even hear them say to not vote on it at all last night," she said. "Their minds were already made up, and that's unfortunate." Republicans hold a 6-1 town board majority. The board's lone Democrat, Jonathan Kornreich, said he supported the map because it included compromises that unified some communities into single districts. But he said the redistricting process had been flawed and needed to be changed. As quoted in the Newsday, "This process was atrocious," he said before the vote, citing a lack of data and poor communication among town officials, residents, and an appointed redistricting committee that had failed to recommend a map. "It was not a fair and transparent process at all," said Kornreich. Dozens of people spoke at a public hearing preceding the vote. Most opposed the map proposed by Brookhaven town officials, saying it would split some communities into multiple council districts and dilute minority votes. Supporters said it was a fair compromise that would unite communities currently split among different districts. Town officials said 90% of communities were unaffected in Brookhaven and fewer hamlets would be split. One of Long Island's largest food banks is now helping ship 10,000 pounds of food, clothing, and supplies to Ukraine ahead of winter. John Asbury reports on Newsday.com that Long Island Cares is shipping 21 pallets of materials to Poland on Friday, that's today, including non-perishable foods, toiletries, blankets, and winter coats. The shipment follows a 7-month supply drive collected by Assemblyman Charles Levine, a Democrat from Glen Cove, Long Island, the Ukrainian Americans of Long Island, and the New Jersey-based Hope for Ukraine. Organizers have been collecting supplies since the Russian invasion began in February, but have been grappling with how to get aid to refugees and displaced Ukrainians in need. Long Island Cares has been storing supplies at the food bank's warehouse in Hopog and now has a cargo ship willing to donate a shipping container at the Port of New Jersey to deliver supplies to Poland. Quote, "Winter is coming to Ukraine, so the timing is wonderful," Long Island Cares CEO Paul Pachter said. "We're heading into winter when people need heavy coats and blankets. There's an opportunity to help people as the war rages on and the people of Ukraine are displaced." The Riverhead CAP is seeking community volunteers to help teach its drug and alcohol prevention program to 5th and 6th grade students at Pulaski Street Elementary School in Riverhead for the 2022-23 school year. Designed to reduce the risk factors for alcohol, tobacco, and other drug use, the program is led by community volunteers and student peer leaders from the middle and high schools. Lessons aim to help students develop social and emotional skills to make healthy choices, build positive friendships, and develop self-efficacy, communication, and resistance to peer pressure. A total of 8 sessions will be held on a monthly basis. For more information about the program or to sign up, call 631-727-3722. That's 727-3722. When Southampton Town Councilwoman Cynthia McNamara first learned of the proposed 60-unit affordable housing development just outside Southampton Village, now called Liberty Gardens, she felt that planned access onto congested County Road 39 was worrisome. Kitty Merrill reports on 27East.com that when the developer, Concern Housing Inc., submitted an environmental study in furtherance of a needed zone change from the town board, she read it and, gesturing to the massive tome and files left by her predecessor on the town board, Julie Lofstad, said this week, "I was looking for something redeeming, but what I got was more questions. Particularly concerning, said Ms. McNamara, was the potential strain that 60 more residential units could have on already short-staffed local police and ambulance services. The lawmaker emphasized that she supports the creation of affordable housing and knows of the need townwide, but she emphasized, "We don't have the services." Can local cops and volunteer ambulance corps handle a potential increase? The required environmental report, known as the Draft Environmental Impact Statement, prepared by the consulting firm Nelson Pope Voris, notes that the housing would be built on land that's currently vacant. It acknowledges that there will likely be a higher volume of calls and more frequent calls to a place that's occupied compared to a vacant parcel of land. To help cover the additional cost, the DEIS proposes an annual tax allocation to the local police department of $4,532, which would increase by 2% every year. Donna Kreinborg, the chairwoman of the Board of Southampton Volunteer Ambulances, said, "I can't imagine a development like this on County Road 39. Saturday's Oktoberfest Festival in Grangebell Park in Riverhead has been canceled due to potential inclement weather, but celebrations will carry on in the form of a downtown beer crawl instead. As reported on RiverheadLocal.com, event organizers decided not to reschedule the festival to the original rain date of Sunday due to the forecast. Instead, indoor celebrations will still be held at the following downtown breweries: North Fork Brewing Company, Peconic County Brewing, Trade Winds Brewing, Long Ireland Beer Company in Riverhead. The festival tomorrow will look more like an impromptu beer crawl, according to the event organizers. Revelers are encouraged to don their costumes and celebrate at participating local breweries, who will offer specials and other Oktoberfest-themed offerings for the occasion. As quoted on RiverheadLocal.com, "We tried to figure out a way to keep the event going," said Diane Tucci, event logistics and marketing coordinator. "I love that the group came up with an idea to continue to support our local businesses after so many months of planning." So once again, tomorrow's Oktoberfest Festival in Grangebell Park in Riverhead has been canceled and there is no rain date. The Southampton Rotary Club Southampton Fest Friday night kickoff party is on for this evening at Agawam Park in Southampton Village. As reported on 27East.com, tonight's cocktail party will have live music by Coverland, complimentary beer and wine from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., followed by a cash bar until 9:30 p.m. Tickets for this evening's party may be purchased in advance for $10 less per ticket online at southamptonrotary.org. That's southamptonrotary.org. While rain is forecast for this Saturday and Sunday, no rain is expected before midnight tonight. For tomorrow, rain, highs near 59 degrees, winds northeast at 15 to 25 miles per hour. Sunday, windy with rain showers, highs around 60 degrees. Long Island's business community needs to be more collaborative and inclusive to support small enterprises, the president of the area's biggest business advocacy group said yesterday. As part of the Long Island Association's efforts to provide more resources for small businesses, the group held the first gathering in a new series of quarterly joint membership meetings with the Long Island African American Chamber of Commerce and Long Island Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Torianne Parrish reports on Newsday.com that more than 60 people representing businesses, nonprofits, and government agencies attended the Thursday morning meeting in the Melville Building, where the Long Island Association is headquartered. The goal of the event is to show that the Long Island Association wants to partner with local chambers of commerce to provide resources, support, and guidance to the small business community, particularly as many businesses are still trying to recover from losses suffered during the COVID-19 pandemic, said Matt Cohen, president and CEO of the LIA. Small businesses, particularly those owned by people of color, were disproportionately affected, he said. Businesses owned by people of color were more likely to seek pandemic-related financial assistance, but less likely to receive it than white-owned businesses last year, according to a June report from the Small Business Credit Survey conducted by 12 Federal Reserve banks. Since Cohen took over LIA leadership in May 2021, he has been working to change the perception that the group is focused only on large businesses, he said. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM I'm Michael Mackey.